The word I wrote on the board is from the book of Daniel. The word is from the ancient language that the Jews used. It was not known to the king who first saw it. In fact, it was a very frightening word. When it was interpreted by Daniel, it was even more frightening. And I'd like to consider the word today. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which is at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be given be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations and languages, trembled in fear before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, Mene. Maybe it's Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Pyrrhus, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts to them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. This story has been on my mind for quite a long time. I was not too many months back. I was seated in a place to eat, and it just seemed like that I was in the same atmosphere as this feast that the king gave. That the crowd, the spirit of the crowd, was not a spirit of fear toward God or of praise toward God. But it was a very worldly spirit. They were drinking. They were lifting up their hearts in pleasure and laughter. And I recognized it wasn't good. And I wondered, what would happen here if all of a sudden a hand appeared on the wall and began writing words that they couldn't understand? That scene has... it really struck me. Now, Belshazzar was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. His father was Evil Merodach. None of these men... well, Belshazzar wrote, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, All whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Those were Nebuchadnezzar's words. And he had learned a great lesson from his time as a beast of the field, where his glory was taken away and he lived out in the fields, was wet with dew, grew feathers like a bird and ate grass like a cow, like an ox. But this is what he said: those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. But his grandson, Belshazzar, Daniel said, though you knew these things, you've not humbled your heart before the God of heaven. So I've thought about, what was God so displeased with about this feast? We have feasts. We have times where we get together and we enjoy food, and we don't give ourselves to wine because of what we see taught in the scriptures, that we should not do that. But what was so bad about this feast? And we see that it was the attitude of the heart of the king and his lords and ladies. They were there to feast, but not the kind of feast that God had always opened up to his people, where people would feast. They would remember the poor and send gifts of food and finances to relieve the poor. I'm sorry. There was drinking. That wasn't just all that God was displeased with in this scene. They were drinking wine in the vessels that had been dedicated to the service of God. And God said he weighed this event. He weighed the hearts of the people who were there. He weighed them and pondered their ways and their spirits. That's what the scripture says. Let's just turn and read some of those scriptures. Proverbs 16, verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. He looks down in the heart and he judges, he weighs, he holds our thoughts, our intentions, motives, the deep parts of our thinking. He weighs them up against his word. Just like in a balance, the old-timey scales where a weight was put in one side and what you were weighing was put in the other. And if it balanced up, if it evened out, then the two were considered equal, the same. But if the true weight overbalanced the other, then the other was considered lacking, wanting in weight, in worth, in value. We know those were very common and familiar instruments of justice and business in those days, clear up until the early days of our country. I remember going with my mother to the store, and I was very interested in the weights, the scales that they had in the produce section. How many apples were in a pound? Or if it was 89 cents a pound, how many bananas could I get? very interested in that when I was little. But it's been very interesting to me to think of God having a divine scale. And I know when I was little and we'd go to camp meeting and we would sing that song, number, was it 395? 395. Weighed and Found Wanting. I thought it was the scariest song just about in the book. Consider being weighed by God, and you're supposed to be a certain weight. You're supposed to measure up right with God's word. And he found that you didn't do that. There was something lacking. That was very frightening to me as a child. I wanted to weigh against God's word. I wanted to be found where I was supposed to be found. I didn't want to be found wanting and rejected at heaven's door. Well, I believe that desire and that fear to be wanting, that desire to be found worthy and value in God's sight, that's part of the fear of God that we want to have every day. It's not like we're afraid that God is going to judge harshly or not fairly. We know God is fair and just. We know that he doesn't just on a whim cast us aside or decide that we're not worthy. We know that. We know that God loves us, and that God sent his son to die for us. That's quite a weight, too, in the scheme of things, to measure our lives against the redeeming love of Christ, of God, who died and gave himself for us. Lord, have I given myself to you with that same love? Am I living for you with the same giving of myself as you gave of yourself? So we have this in our minds. The Lord weighs the spirit. In 1 Samuel, a lady prophet also said that. Her name was Hannah. She was a prophet who actually prophesied. She was the first woman to prophesy of the Messiah. But in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." Now listen to this. "Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." So, Proverbs, it says, the Lord weighs the spirits. Our ways are all proper and right in our eyes and clean. But God weighs our spirits. Hannah said, actions are weighed by God. So, it is a pretty fearful scene as we think about Belshazzar and the feast that he had, the drinking that went on, the vessels that were used that were supposed to have been dedicated vessels given to God of heaven. And now they were being used to drink wine and lift those glasses in toasts and praise to the idols, the foreign gods. So, when you see this word now, that word means the balance. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Another thing I want to consider, let's consider the great value of the vessels that were used. Let me find a space, a spot here, and I believe it's 1 Chronicles. Chapter 29. These are the words of David, Solomon's father. Furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, and the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. David said, these are the things that I have gathered and prepared with all my heart. Wouldn't you say that a man who had done this in his life, who had spent his life's labor and hard work and energy and devotion in preparing material for a certain purpose, that was a very special thing. It wasn't a light thing for somebody to take those things and just waste them. Moreover, because I've set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I've given to the house of my God, over and above all that I've prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. Then gold for things of gold, and silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. Now we have David, now we have the princes. And here's what they did. And gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Thou therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. You see the glory and the honor and the praise that David gave God as he dedicated the vessels? That was the spirit of which these vessels were dedicated and given to the service of the house of the Lord. Consider the very opposite they were used in this dread feast by King Belshazzar and his lords and ladies. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I've seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. This was the first, this was the beginning of these vessels. This was the sort of heart and mind and spirit that these vessels were dedicated and given to God. He prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads, and worshipped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. On the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings, and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel, and did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. That's the kind of feast that the Lord hallows and that the Lord blesses and puts his approval upon. When you think about the other kind of feast, how sad, how lacking it was. It was lacking in praise. It was lacking in dedication. It was sacrilegious when it used these precious items that had been so prepared with so much care and so much dedication and so much sacrifice. And they used them. They had stolen them and they used them to praise their own gods. Well, we can think a lot, and I have thought a lot about this through the months. Lord, when I feast before you, I want to do so with a heart that you can search and find the worthy praise, thanksgiving, dedication, and consecration as was in this right here. Lord, help us that our hearts would fear before him and tremble at his word and do our best. We can't do someone else's best or more than our abilities, to give our abilities and the best that we can do to the Lord. This Thanksgiving, as we sit down at the feast that we each enjoy, let us dedicate our hearts and our lives to God as we feast. Let us recognize we just give you what we've been given, Lord. All we have to offer is what you've given us. We're just sojourners. Our lives could end. Lord, take our lives. Let our lives and our time and our energies and our affections be dedicated unto you. I want to challenge us as we partake this week of Thanksgiving dinner that we will consecrate our service unto the Lord and praise him and worship him and bow before him and offer our sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. That our feast be a real feast unto the Lord. Let's not let There's a spirit of this world today in the feasting, in the drinking, in the decor, in in the praise that is given to the material gods of this earth, let us have a praise that is given to God alone. I'm not trying to make you morose, or I know that we can rejoice. God has given us joy, families, good things. What is it? Let's see. A scripture that says, "Nevertheless, God He left not Himself without witness." But how does that go? He's filling our hearts with food and gladness. I think that's in Acts. But He did good and gave us.
14.
Thank you. Nevertheless, in 17, He left not Himself without witness in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. That's the spirit that weighs out and is not found wanting before God. Lord, help us to have a true attitude of praise before You as we feast this week. Help us to praise Him. I think about a scripture in Deuteronomy that's been quite a challenge and instruction to me. Deuteronomy 28, verse 47, "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things." Have we not been given abundantly to? God has been so abundant with His gifts to us, lavish. He has poured out even temporal things. We live as rich people. We do. We're the rich man that feasts sumptuously every day. We do. He said, "Because you didn't serve Me with gladness and with joyfulness for the abundance of all things, therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send thee, in hunger and in want, and in nakedness and in want of all things." Hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. Lord, help us that when we know God, like in Acts chapter 1, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. But help us, Lord, when we know God and we realize that God has blessed us and given us the abundance of all things, help us to glorify Him as God. It says, because they didn't do that. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The lack of praise and thanksgiving is a great want when we're weighed in the divine balances. It makes a great want in our lives of wisdom, of light, illumination. As professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We see this happening and has happened in the world around us. And we as God's people want to keep ourselves from that kind of wickedness We want to glorify God as God, and we want to be thankful. The Lord help us that the word tickle will not be said about us, that we will remember to be thankful and glorify God. Now I want to comment just a little bit about the other words after that. It looks like that there is a discrepancy that I found. Eupharson, and then in verse 28, that word eupharson is not there. It's Paris. Eupharson is the plural. Paris is the singular. It's the same word, but one's a plural and one's singular. So it's not a discrepancy. It's not two words that mean different things. It's the same word, but one's plural and one's singular. That's just a very small explanation of there being two words that are supposed to coincide there. And it looks like that they don't, but they really do. The word eupharson is the plural, and the word Paris means divided. Well, I won't go into that because I've got my mind is a little confused. I'm sorry, I don't mean to confuse anybody. But there are some times that I can read something over and over and over, and I still have problems. Pray for me. Now I want to just give a few thoughts about the vessels again. In Numbers chapter 3, these were the vessels that were in the ancient tabernacle before the palace that Solomon built. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 27. And of Kohath was the family of the Amramites, and the family of the Izharites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzielites. These are the families of the Kohathites. In the number of all the males, from a month old and upward, were 8,600, keeping the charge of the sanctuary. Verse 31, and their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlestick, and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary wherewith they minister, and the hanging and all the service thereof. 8,600 people in charge of these vessels. I wanted to mention that because these vessels, even though these are not exactly the same ones that Solomon made and that were stolen out of the temple by Nebuchadnezzar, yet I wanted to show you the care, the worth, the value of these vessels. 8,000 people to take care of them, to wash them and dry them and polish them and place them in their places. 8,000 people. So that was quite a care that God gave on his vessels. He cared for his vessels. They were stolen. He knew it. He knew where every one, every fork, every spoon, he knew where it was. Every goblet. Today, our bodies are the temple of the living God. And I would say that our vessels would be our will, my affections, my mind. Those are to be used as vessels for God. My speech, my ability to praise and thank Him my hands given to God to do His work. What does that little song say that you all sang not too long ago? My hands were made to help my neighbor. My eyes were made to read God's word. My feet were made to walk in His footsteps. My body is the temple of the Lord. And thinking about this morning, how I think there's a scripture in Isaiah somewhere that says, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." I have in my own body vessels that I want to be dedicated and used, not to bring praise and honor to myself or other gods, but the Lord God of heaven. Well, I believe that's concludes the thoughts that I have had on my heart for this passage of Scripture. If anyone else has some thoughts and you feel like God wants you to share them, do so. 1 Chronicles 16. Psalm of David, verse 25. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, "The Lord reigneth." Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, "Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name, and glory in Thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever." And all the people said, "Amen," and praise to the Lord. This would be a good praise to give, this thanksgiving. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name and glory in Thy praise. I trust that your soul has been challenged by this challenge, for the different thoughts that we have seen here in this fifth chapter of Daniel. Pray that the Lord would help us all as we consider being weighed in the Lord's balances, that we would find it in our hearts to praise Him, to honor Him, to live lives of consecration to Him. Amen.